shocked that I was able to say, oh, no, this lettuce is from Northern California.
If only,
the other day. I figured it would just say product of the USA.
If only there was a government agency dedicated to tracking the spread of disease. Wait,
they should call it something like the Center for Disease Control.
Yeah. It's like, why isn't this? Because in the meat industry, the FDA, like, they know where everything comes from. So that when an outbreak happens, they can trace it back to the farm where that meat originated.
Yeah.
Produce industry? Oh, it's lettuce. Yeah, it grew somewhere in the United States. It's lettuce. Let's start getting, what we need is a national standard here so that the next time this thing happens, people don't have to avoid lettuce for 2 months. By the way, this thing has spread as far north as Connecticut now. There are still no reported cases in the 5 real New England states. We don't count Connecticut anymore. They're gone. They're dead to us. Still no reported cases in the
bunch of pearl-wearing Volvo drivers.
Yeah. In the 5 real New England states, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have some. So just be careful with the lettuce.
Be careful with being healthy. Pizza for the next 2 weeks,
yeah,
guys.
I've been eating salads lately, too. It's not...
I would say, I eat a salad every day, and it was very off-putting.
Yeah.
Emmett Flood.
Emmett Flood. I saw this. I don't remember.
According to the White House, President Donald Trump has
tapped... Oh, he's the new lawyer.
Emmett Flood, who advised Bill Clinton during his impeachment proceedings...
Yeah.
...to assist in the Russia investigation after the lead White House attorney handling the probe announced that he plans to retire. I giggled so hard when I read this.
What? That Clinton's lawyer is now working for Trump? That's what the guy does.
But it's just, I love, so what do you do for a living? Oh, whenever a president does something stupid, I help them out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want the guy who's got experience whenever you have a legal case.
When a president's an idiot.
I don't know if this is the guy you want because it didn't work out too well the last time. I believe that guy got impeached but was not thrown out of office.
I would say, but theoretically, I mean, he got impeached but not.
There's an interesting thing happening here. Not here on WMFO Medford, but in general with Robert Mueller, who may or may not be planning to subpoena the president. You've got to look beyond the hysteria in the headlines and see what's really being said. It's something that one of his subordinates suggested could happen. But here's the thing. If that does happen, that's unprecedented. And Donald Trump has said several times that he's more than willing to sit down and answer any questions that Robert Mueller has. We've got him on the record for over many, many months saying that. If Robert Mueller subpoenas Donald Trump must fight it. He has to. Even if he has nothing to hide. Because no United States president in history has ever been subpoenaed before to testify in front of a grand jury. And one thing that every president becomes the second they are sworn in is ferociously protective of the office, on the one hand, and insatiable for additional power on the other hand. This is what presidents do. They try and defend themselves from prosecution and amass as much power as they possibly can. That is the nature of the presidency. Yeah. Always has been. So if he is subpoenaed, as much as Donald Trump may want to sit there and say, he doesn't need to subpoena me, I'll go in and talk, there are a bunch of people who are going to say, wait a minute, if you set this precedent... The next time somebody wants to talk to the president, all they're going to do is going to be like, well, Trump did it.
But the thing of that is that his entire presidency, his entire campaign to become president was based upon the fact that he was a different kind of candidate. He was going to be a different president, which is why I don't think that he's going to follow suit in that.
As I said, the minute you get sworn in, those two things happen. All right, you defend the office ferociously, and you try and amass as much power as possible.
But no, theoretically, that's what you're supposed to do.
That's what every president does, and Donald Trump has behaved exactly like that in certain regards. We're seeing a lot of the same sort of things that happened during the Nixon administration, happened during the Trump administration.
Oh, please compare Trump to Nixon more. It makes me giggle.
But here's the thing. Donald Trump and Richard Nixon, nothing alike. Nothing at all alike between those two guys. Nixon...
They're rich dummies.
Yeah, no, Nixon wasn't really that rich. ultimately, Nixon was a career politician. Well, no one. No one on the planet is as rich as Trump, or as healthy as Trump, or as good-looking as Trump.
Or has as much totally real hair as Trump.
Right. He's the greatest president ever, and he will remind us of that constantly. But what's going to happen, the way this is going to play in the media, is when he starts fighting this, because he has to, because he's the president, everybody on the left is going to start jumping up and down and saying, he's got something to hide, he's got something to hide, he's got something to hide. And that will be the refrain on CNN 24 hours a day. I recommend you cancel your cable subscription right now so that you can avoid this. Throw your internet out the window.
Can one throw the internet out the window? That sounds like a neat trick.
Can throw the devices out the window. Michelle Wolf.
Michelle Wolf has come under a lot of scrutiny as a result of her performance at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of, I didn't even actually include this in my research because so much of it just bothers me. But she made some comments about Sanders.
Huckabee.
Sarah. Sanders. Thank you. Sarah Huckabee.
That's what we used to do it on this show.
Yeah, she made some comments about her style choices. Yeah.
Well, she suggested that Sarah Huckabee Sanders looks like a softball coach. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I was trying to be... Oh, I know exactly what that means. That's like when I tell people that the reason I could never work a job where I have to wear a suit is because it makes me look like a women's basketball coach.
And then she denied that she was making comments about Sarah Huckabee Sanders' appearance, which shows you how much integrity Michelle Wolf has. I don't know if you've seen the set.
I've seen clips of it from people being super. That's the thing is, like, I've seen clips of it from people being super angry about it and people supporting her on the flip side. And it's just one of those things. As a comedian, I don't like censorship. I don't like
Fine. Okay. I agree with you.
By the way, FCC, can I please start swearing on here?
A dinner to celebrate the First Amendment is probably not the place where you should be criticizing.
Precisely.
Spoken word.
That's why I've been kind of,
even if you disagree with it,
boycotting any coverage of it.
The entire set, it's a little under 20 minutes, is online. Shea Spillane, I recommend that you watch it because you were a woman in comedy and know what a 20-minute set looks like and should see it. If you have a passing interest in this or if you enjoy things that aren't funny, I would also recommend that you watch it because having watched the whole thing, it's terrible.
Well, and the thing
is, it's a terrible set. Like, you've only heard about those handful of clips and those handful of jokes. The whole set is bad.
Well, and the thing is, you can get away with saying super offensive things if it's I remember when I first started doing comedy, having a very good comedian tell me this. I think it was actually Gary Gulman that told me this. You can say whatever you want as long as it's so good that it's undeniable.
Right.
That no matter how offensive you're being, no matter how ridiculous a statement you're making, if it is so good that nobody can tell you anything about it, then you can do it. But in order to pull off saying things like that, you have to be just undeniable. That's the word he kept using over and over. You have to be undeniable. It has to be so perfect that nobody can say word one about it. And from what I've gathered, like I said, I purposely didn't watch the set just because I don't want to pollute my brain. But from what I've heard, it's not.
There was one good joke in there. It was pretty early on. And she says, you know, I'm a woman. You can't silence me unless your name is Michael Cohen and you send me $100,000. You can send that to my Venmo account. I am listed under Rance Priebus. That was a good joke. The rest of it was awful. She seems to know that she's bombing about two jokes into it. And this is the sort of thing that comics pick up on that audience members don't.
Yeah.
She is...
Like, you can tell just by body language, tone of voice, not even facial expressions, but, like, facial tics.
She is bombing, and the audience hates her. I mean, hates her. There's, like, a little crowd of people somewhere in the back clapping, which is probably the MSNBC table. But the jokes, for the most part, are the same kind of lame, basic, overwrought, vulgar jokes that get tossed around on sites like Jezebel all day long.
Well, and I think
it's not funny. It's not clever. There's no perspective there. These are the same tired jokes that we hear a million times a day in social media.
Well, and I think about, I believe it was 5 or 6 years ago when Joe Wong did the White House Correspondents
Dinner. He's a friend of ours. I know Joe well.
Excellent Boston comedian. But he did the White House Correspondents Dinner, and it was so flawless. So every single joke was so well thought out. And so I'll always remember he talked about getting, he's originally from China, and he talked about getting his citizenship. He said, part of the reason I wanted my citizenship was so that I was able to vote for Obama. And he looks over and goes, you're welcome.
Yeah. But here's
like
the other
thing. And it's a matter of picking the proper occasion.
When Joe Wong was asked to do it, he was told this has to be a clean set. Mm-hmm. Don't attack anybody.
Well, and it's because the whole point of the evening is to, you can do light jabs, but
the whole point of the evening is to build an uncomfortable familiarity between White House staff and the
and
journalists
the media.
Who are supposed to hold them accountable. The dinner itself is a bad idea, okay? It's a bad idea. It's really what these guys should be doing is playing dodgeball so that nobody ever crosses the line and every now and again someone gets some balls in the face. That's a more appropriate interaction between the White House and the media. You're throwing rocks at each other all day long. Hey, let's throw rubber balls at each other for a change. But No, instead we got to have this stupid dinner. And it's like, I opened for Joe Wong. I hosted Joe Wong. I watched Joe Wong come up. Joe Wong, I don't think, had a single four-letter word anywhere in his material.
Oh, no. And he also doesn't have a mean bone in his body.
No.
That's what I did a... I remember, actually, my first TV credit was for Chinese television.
With Joe Wong.
Yeah.
He is huge in China.
But it was, I was going to say, it was
he
something.
He is the state comic of China.
I was going to say, I loved, it was me, I'm trying to think, it was me, Lamont Price, and somebody else. But it was, we did a sketch for a Chinese news show. And I remember he took us all out to dinner afterwards as a thank you. And it was the first time I'd performed with him before, but I'd never hung out with him. And that dude does not have a mean bone on his body.
No.
He really doesn't. He has the unique ability to be funny without swearing, without being offensive, without throwing anybody under the bus. And that, I think, given the spirit of what the Correspondents' Dinner is supposed to be, that's what type of comedian you should have.
Yeah.
Not someone, and don't get me wrong, I mean, a lot of people who have been defending Michelle Wolf have been saying, you know, she got handed quite the lineup of people to talk about.
No, she didn't. She made that choice. And she should be held accountable for making that choice.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And she could have skirted the line instead of jumping across it. Could have. I mean, everyone likes a good light roasting. But there's a difference between like a light like poke in the ribs and tossing a knife in there.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was the appropriate forum.
No.
For her to do that.
She told bad jokes.
Especially, like I said, if she told jokes that were stabbing them in the throat and they were undeniably good, that's one thing.
Right.
But for lackluster, half-hearted, half-weighed, half-whatever you want to call it, jokes about such... It's like it would have been better if she mailed it in.
She told bad jokes. She should be held accountable for that. The comedians who are defending her should be ashamed of themselves. You need to know when to walk away, people, and not just rush to somebody's defense because, whoa, it's the Trump administration, it's the conservatives and the media.
Well, I would say
it's
that's like, the thing.
Please
is that,
stop.
Like, the people defending her, I think... are less defending her and more defending that they would have loved the opportunity to attack the Trump administration.
But they're defending not funny.
But that's what I'm saying, is they're defending her for the wrong reason.
And if you're a comedian defending not funny, you lose integrity points. The media should shut the hell up, all right? You want to call attention to it. You want to point out that it was entirely the wrong thing to do. Yes, that's fine. But you're a bunch of idiots, too. So nobody wants to, believe me, nobody in a newsroom was offended. No one who's been in a professional newsroom was offended by anything that Michelle Wolf had to say. I do recommend that you watch the video.
I was going to say, now I'm absolutely going to.
Watch the C-SPAN coverage, because they keep going to audience reaction shots, and it's priceless, because the reaction shots are just worse and worse and worse and worse. And as comics, Shay, you and I have both been in that room.
Yeah.
We've both been in that situation where the audience really wants you to leave.
I'm going
to
say, that's part of why I don't want to watch it, is because I'm afraid that my reaction to it will be like my sister and I both love the beginning of every season of American Idol, when it's just the auditions and people being so bad that it makes you like cover your face because you're so embarrassed for them. I'm afraid that's what it's going to be like for me to watch.
Yeah. Oh, it's nightmare fuel for stand-up comic. Hey, my favorite part of Showtime at the Apollo is the Sandman. So, you know.
He did not rub that log. Cambridge Analytica
is closing their doors.
Yes, they are.
They announced today that not only are they shutting down, but SCL Elections is shutting down. Mm-hmm. Because apparently the last refuge of a scoundrel, also known as changing the company name, would not be enough. they accused the media of driving all their customers away.
I would say, they cited, quote, a siege of media coverage as the reason.
Yeah.
It's like, why was the media covering you, dummies?
Maybe because you stole all our data and used it to profile us. Thanks, guys. Budweiser.
Makes a very drinkable light beer.
Beer is stretching it.
I was going to say, it makes a very drinkable water
product
spiked
in a
with
can.
Barley and hops.
Product in a can. Makes a very drinkable product in a can. We're not going to call it beer.
I have no idea.
Well, this might be interesting. I normally do not drink Budweiser products, but they found a beer recipe in one of George Washington's diaries.
And no way.
They have used this to create Budweiser Freedom Reserve Red Lager. Freedom! Yeah, Budweiser Freedom Reserve Red Lager. They put molasses in it because that was one of the ingredients that George Washington used.
Oh, super cool.
They also have a bunch of stuff that the president did not use, such as toasted barley grains. But they've tried to capture the spirit of Washington's recipe. It is made by United States veterans.
And the bottle looks very, like, I'm looking at it online. It looks very, like, old school America.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Steiny.
It's like Red Stripe. It looks similar to the Red Stripe
bottle.
It's
a stubby bottle.
Yeah.
Comes in a stubby bottle. And a portion of the sales are going to go to a group called Folds of Honor, which provides educational scholarships to military families.
Oh, very cool.
So Budweiser's, yes, I'll buy a six-pack.
Oh, yeah, for every
Budweiser
case purchased, Budweiser is donating $1 to Folds of Honor.
Yep.
That's, and if you think about it, a case would cost maybe, I don't know, what, $9?
Yeah.
So that's a very sizable donation.
It's going to be available all summer long, so we'll give it a try and see if
word
it's
up.
Good.
I was going to say, I never liked Bud Heavy, but I will, translate, that's Quincy lingo. That's what we call Budweiser.
Bud Heavy.
Bud Light is Bud Light.
That's the king
of beers. Budweiser is Bud Heavy.
It's the king of beers you're talking about right there.
Let me see. Charlottesville. That's going to be my next
one.
All
right, hang on one second. We'll get you on the air.
Oh, do we have a caller?
We have a caller.
It
is one of our favorite callers. Say hi, and what do you got for us tonight?
Oh, hi, it's Chris. Hi, Derek. Hi, Shay.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, just lovely, thank you.
We're hot. It's hot.
I was going to say hot. Yeah. Other than that, good.
I love hot weather, though, so I'm not complaining. As long as I have AC at night, but it's cool at night, so we don't need it this time of year.
So I would say
I have one of those cool, like, pull out the hot air, bring in the cold air fans for my window, so I'm good.
I have to guess that you're Italian, because I know you're a listener, and as listeners know, my belief is that the only things that like the heat are tomatoes and Italians.
Well, you're half right. I'm half German, half Italian.
There you go. There's the heat lover in there.
Yeah.
So you like the heat, but you're kind of withholding and cold about it.
No. I love warm weather. I like it to be like 100 degrees.
I'm mostly Nordic and Irish. This melts me. So
I intensely hate cold. You know, I have a couple of friends who came from Russia, and they said the only part of this country they can stand is Alaska.
Because
they hate heat. So everyone's climate is a different thing.
See, I lived in L.A. for 3 years, and I moved back because I was like, I need it to be cold sometimes so I can appreciate the heat instead of just getting annoyed by it.
I mean, I like the, you know, the pretty like ice on the trees during the ice storms and the snow for Christmas. But, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah, as long as you're inside with hot chocolate and a blanket.
More than enough. I don't want 3 or 4 months of it. Like, just have 5 months of summer and like 1 month of winter, and I'll be happy. You know? I would love to have global warming. I'm not opposed to it.
So what's on your mind tonight, Chris?
So you touched on a bunch of things, and I don't really want to waste time on things like Kanye. I was surprised.
Who wants to waste time on Kanye?
Shay, it's the first time I've heard someone I like say that Kanye did a good album or something, so I hate the thought that I might be forced to listen to what you're referring to.
To be fair, just for background information, my sister bought me, this is his first album, my sister bought it for me because I didn't want to go to college, and my parents made me. And it's called College Dropout. But every album since then, I think, has been rubbish. But his first album is quite good. His first album is the reason that he's as famous as he is.
I'll listen to that one, because maybe that explains why he has fans. Because I'm thinking, like, how is it possible?
You know? Stop selling Kanye. We're a news program.
I mean, I just, I didn't know he had a breakdown in 2016. I thought his whole life was that way. You know?
That's why I wanted to bring up the story, because I was like, I thought that it's been like a 10-year breakdown, dude. Like, how are we specifying? Specifying 2016 for this. You married a Kardashian. Your whole life is a breakdown.
You could say the same about her. She married Kanye. You know, now she's dyeing her hair white and apparently doesn't know that that looks horribly ugly and what she's got a black stripe on. I call it the skunk.
Here.
You know, these people are lucky that I don't twit and that I don't have time for stuff like that, because I would be ridiculing them if I did. I've always wanted to catch Kanye in an alley somewhere so I could just beat the crap out of him for interrupting Taylor's speech.
I was just going to say, I think Taylor Swift is with you on that. Excuse me, I'm going to let you finish.
I heard of him because of South Park made fun of him, and then he did that on that show. You know?
Right.
But what I wanted to say is you were mentioning at the beginning of the show about those movies, you know. I hate those movies, all those things about death and destruction and all. I hate those things. But you said something that intrigued me, that in the plot, somebody had a premonition that, you know, someone was going to die, and then they acted to stop that.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole, the premise of the movie is that they act to stop it, but then death is still waiting for them, so it follows
then,
them wherever they go.
Some sort of, you know, you can't cheat death plot or something?
Basically, yes, precisely, yeah.
It turns into these...
It starts with Devon Sawa. Every additional movie, the actors go from A to B to C to D to F.
I saw part of one once because a friend was watching or something.
I would say the first one's a plane crash. Is the second one the roller coaster?
First one's the roller coaster. Second one
The first one
was
plane crash.
It was highway destruction.
One's the plane crash. The second one is
the roller coaster.
Second one is the highway.
The highway. You're right.
The third one, 3D, which is terrible, is the roller coaster.
That's all you need. So, have either of you ever had premonitions?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's like not premonitions. I mean, I'm not psychic or something, but I've definitely experienced you know, things like deja vu where.
Yeah.
I'll dream that something's going to happen, and then a week later I'm standing there and I'm like, I've already experienced this before.
Yeah, I've seen things happen in dreams that happen in real life.
Yeah.
And I've had premonitions. And here's what is interesting, that if you have real premonitions, which I think a lot of people do, and I'm not sure whether it's an ability that some of us have or whether the culture suppresses it, you know, like that Eastern Western thing where here they teach everyone there is no subconscious, no intuition, and whereas really there is, and you should follow it. So I don't know if it's a cultural suppression or if it's just an ability some people have. I don't know the answer to that, but I definitely have premonitions, and I know other people do. And I've had premonitions that things were going to happen and have tried to stop it. And you know what happens when you try to stop it?
It happens tenfold.
You can't. No, it's not that it's an influence thing. You just can't stop it.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because of something that's often referred to as the time travel paradox. It comes from, you know, those Back to the Future, Star Trek kind of things where they, you know, invent time travel for a plot contrivance. So it has to do with, like, let's say it's one of those plots and you're now in the present and something horrible happens and you want to stop it. So you invent time travel, you go back in time, and you undo whatever it is that was going to make that happen, right?
Yeah.
But the problem with that is if you could go back in time and you did that, then when you get back to the present, since that now didn't happen, you wouldn't know it had happened and you therefore wouldn't be able to go back in time to stop it from happening.
Well, there's a movie about that. It's called The Butterfly Effect.
Yeah.
And they actually did an episode of Family Guy about that, actually. It's like one of the most frustrating episodes of Family Guy to watch, actually. But, well, I agree with you. I always think of it in terms of one of Newton's laws of motion, where energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It just gets transferred from one form into another. Yeah. It's a matter of every action has an equal and opposite reaction. It's all...
Yeah, it's not just that you can't travel through time, but it's that logic. You know, if you were able to do it, well, then you'd get back to the present. You wouldn't know what happened. You wouldn't be able to go back in time and change it. And then it would happen. So it becomes an open-ending paradox thing.
Yeah. Well, it's a matter of, what was I going to say? It's a matter of, not momentum, but I know what you mean, where it's a matter of that if something is going to happen, it's a balance in the universe type
thing.
Well,
if you change it, then you're not able to know it. If you know what's happened now because you've just seen it happen. But then you go back in time and prevent it, then you've changed the time stream, including the time that lets you see it happen, because now it's not happening.
Dude, so have you seen the movie The Butterfly Effect?
I've got to stop this because time is working against us tonight.
Yes, okay. It is.
So anyway, the thing is that you don't have to go back in time to test that theory out. All you have to be able to do is be able to have a premonition, which means you're getting knowledge from the future and you have it now. And so you act now to stop that from happening. And it happens anyway.
Ooh.
You can't stop it. And I've experienced it multiple times. The first time I didn't notice it, because it takes more than one time to realize it's happening, because we're taught that it can't.
This is pretty much where, like, the foundation of Final Destination.
Yeah,
of that movie,
I was going to say, absolutely. And we do have to cut you off because we're running low on time. But, before next week, watch The Butterfly Effect. You have to. This is exactly what you're talking about.
I've heard of it somewhere. Yeah, it's just that.
It's Ashton Kutcher, which I apologize for already, but it is a good movie.
If I was able to stop the thing from happening that I had the premonition about, then I wouldn't be able to have the premonition about it because it wouldn't happen. So therefore, it's got to happen anyway.
Makes sense. All right.
And I've seen that happen several times.
All right, Chris. Thank you so
much for calling, Chris.
All right. You too. Have a good one.
Thank you. Have a good night. You too.
All right. Is it your turn, my turn? Where are we on the... I think it's my turn.
I don't even know. Chris just blew my mind.
Alpha Kappa Alpha.
Well, Alpha Kappa, you're Alpha. Is that Penn State?
No.
Then I don't know.
This is Fort Valley State University. They're in Georgia.
Something state.
Chapter allegedly pimped out its pledges so that they could pay their membership fees. A former Alpha Cap, Alicia Johnson, who was working as a Fort Valley official, resigned when the national chapter of the sorority opened an investigation into the sex scandal. Politicians and athletes are closely watching developments because allegedly these girls were being pimped out to some big players in the Georgia scene.
I mean, I've always been against sororities on principle. Just because, well, like my brother was in a frat, and I always said that if I was a dude, I'd be in a fraternity, but I'd never be in a sorority. Because they're two just completely... But this is a perfect example.
Got to pay them dues. Somehow.
Oh, my goodness. God, I'm so glad I didn't end up going to Clemson. Charlottesville,
South Carolina.
Yes.
Virginia,
actually.
Or Virginia. Oh, God.
This is in reference to a very big news story.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen is I'm going to blow it because I was reading about Spike Lee's new movie today, which he's opening on the anniversary. It's premiering at
Cannes.
Which
is August 12th.
Right. And he's opening it on August 12th, which is the anniversary of Charlottesville. Yeah. And he was talking about how Charlottesville influenced it. And that's just in my head right now.
Well, so the white men who prosecutors say, quote, came for battle, end quote, when he took part in the brutal beating of a black man during last year's white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, has been found guilty of malicious wounding. Yeah, I didn't even know that was something you charged for.
Yeah.
Yesterday, jurors recommended a sentence of 10 years for Jacob Scott Goodwin in the August 12th attack of DeAndre Harris. Some of the prison time could be suspended, but if so, he must pay a $20,000 fine. Harris, who's 20, suffered a spinal injury, a broken arm, and head lacerations that required 8 staples after the parking garage assault. 3 others were arrested but charged with lesser sentences.
Hopefully, he can enjoy some justice in the big house.
Yeah.
I'm sure
this. I would say that's honestly, I don't mean to sound heartless, but I love reading stories like this where somebody who is just so ruthless and unnecessarily brutal to another human being gets exactly what's coming to them.
Yeah.
And while I do think we need prison reform in our country in terms of keeping prisoners safe and treating them with dignity and basic human rights, this is one of those times that I'm glad we haven't gotten there yet, because I want this guy to get what is coming to him.
He might discover a newfound love for England, of course, that he never knew he had. We'll
see. I was going to say, someone's about to go through a lifestyle change.
Yep. ABBA.
ABBA, like the band?
Yes.
I don't know.
How did you miss the ABBA news?
I try to. When I worked in Italy, they made me listen to the Mamma Mia soundtrack every day. I kind of block out.
There is only one ABBA story that could ever possibly matter, and this is it. They have recorded their first
Mamma Mia.
They've recorded their first new song in 35 years.
Oh, no way.
It's called I Still Have Faith in You, and it will debut around the holidays in a special produced by the BBC and NBC, which means we will see it on these shores. The song is produced as part of their upcoming Avatar tour, and basically they're going to use that hologram technology to go on tour all over the world as 1979 ABBA.
I was going to say, as them like 40 years ago.
Yeah, but now there's a practical reason why they're...
Oh my goodness.
There's a practical reason why they're doing this. And part of the reason the band stopped touring is because Agnetha Faltskog could not tour anymore. She was getting panic attacks. Mm. And she couldn't even leave her house. She couldn't go out on stage. She couldn't do anything. She is incredibly frightened of large crowds and struggles with the pressure. So they came up with the idea that they were going to do this anniversary Avatar tour, and they've been hanging out together, and lo and behold, we get new ABBA music.
Before my Clockwork Orange experience with the Mamma Mia soundtrack, I did love ABBA so much.
Oh,
I love that it's literally just their names. Like, yeah. That's how they came up with the name of their band. Their names are, like you said, Agnetha, Bjorn, Benny, and Annie Fried.
Yep.
And
later known as Frida.
And they're so cute. Like, that's the thing is, like, anyone, when the Mamma Mia, I actually saw the musical when it was on Broadway, before they made it into a movie. And like I said, the family I worked for in Italy, it had just come out in Italy. It had come out in America like 2 years before. And the kids were obsessed with it. I had to listen to it every single day. But I loved all of that music beforehand. And they're just so, it was like lame to like ABBA, but they're so...
It is not like, lame to like ABBA.
But it's never been one lame of those to things
like it. It was
like,
lame to like ABBA in the late 70s when punk and new wave were happening.
I would say that's the thing. It's one of those things that it's like I said, it's so lovably cheesy.
Yeah.
you are a little embarrassed that you want to, if you change your mind.
But it's also very sincere.
That's my favorite song by ABBA, by the way. It's very sincere. All their songs are, they're not pandering. They are genuinely that upbeat and cute.
They were on the radio all the time until the early 1980s when they broke up and the new wave thing took over.
Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me.
But here's the interesting thing. Around about 1994, 1995, everybody, and I mean everybody of my age bracket and older, a little bit older, had a copy of ABBA Gold in their CD collection.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody had that album.
Well, I remember
it was the best-selling album in the country for years.
I remember one of my favorite movies when I was like a tween was the movie Dick, which is it's a parody conspiracy theory yes. about who Deep Throat was.
Yeah.
With Kirsten Dunst and Michelle Williams. It's so funny. But they feature like four ABBA songs in there, and that's part of how I even like found out who they were. Yeah. And then I just became obsessed with ABBA for yeah. a year. And I think the timeliness, I think when that came, when their like gold, whatever, when their like greatest hits album came out, kind of coincided with when that movie came out.
I like to think of them as audio Prozac.
Absolutely. How many, do I have one left or
you
two
got,
left?
You got one left.
Okay. Let me see. Facebook.
Facebook.
Facebook security engineer.
Oh, this is the guy that was, because there were so many Facebook stories today.
I was going to say, that's why I was like, I can't just say Facebook.
The one of the chiefs of security mm-hmm. at Facebook was using his unlimited access to stalk women online.
Yes, yes, he was.
And has been fired for doing so.
Yes, the claim surfaced in a tweet on Sunday by Jackie Stokes, who's a cybersecurity consultant. And she said she received copies of a text conversation on the dating app Tinder that showed the security engineer currently employed at Facebook is likely using privileged access to stalk women online. She said she determined the person was probably employed by Facebook by cross-referencing all of his online profiles, and added that she was not the subject of any of the invasion of privacy, but had been sent a screenshot of a text message, which she added to the Twitter thread, that showed one participant saying their job responsibilities involved being, quote, more than, end quote, a security analyst. The user said their roles involved trying to figure out who hackers are in real life, or in other words, being a professional stalker.
That's right, ladies.
Cute.
Excuse me. That's right, guys. Ladies love it when you dig up their secret personal information and use it to try to woo them.
Mm.
Ladies really can't get enough of that.
Oh, swoon.
Keep doing that, guys. What an idiot. Like, how dumb can you be?
Seriously. And especially you're a higher up at Facebook. You can get chicks just based on that in real life.
Yeah.
Like, there are plenty of girls that be like, ooh, you work for Facebook?
Yeah.
That's so cool. You don't have to be a creepster hiding behind a computer.
You're a security engineer at Facebook, which means you have job security and a fat paycheck. Probably has a fat waist to go with it, I'm guessing. I don't know. But you're right.
I think that's probably a genuine assumption.
This guy does not need to be.
That's what I'm saying. He could be like the ugliest, most boring dude in the world, and there's some girl out there that's going to be like, oh my God, do you know Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah.
Like, men are so stupid.
All right,
no offense, Derek.
Last one for you.
A little offense.
I said we were going back into the Kardashian territory. Black China.
Oh, she is one of the worst human beings in history.
Well, No, I wouldn't go that far.
She's not as bad as...
Not in a world that has given us Adolf Hitler, Stalin... Anita Sarkeesian.
She's one of the worst pop culture is she pregnant? Is that what it is?
Yeah, for the third time with her 18-year-old rapper boyfriend. 18-year-old rapper boyfriend, YBN Almighty.
Oh my God.
Now there's a reason why I included this.
You know, I've met her, by the way.
Black China?
Yeah. We were on the same plane flying out of LA. She brushed past me and knocked my bag out of my hand, and I called her a word I'm not going to say on the radio.
Nice. She probably gets called that word a lot. Yeah. Anyway, here's what YBN had to say, YBN Almighty had to say about this possibility.
His name.
In an interview in March.
Oh my God, I'm ashamed.
There's payoff here. Quote, I don't wear condoms. I would not want to expletive. I did not want to get pregnant. If China got pregnant, I would keep that expletive like, oh, daddy, love you. I love that ass, end quote.
Oh, dear God.
Guess where they met?
Tinder?
No.
Where?
Christian Mingle. Christian Mingle. I am sure Christian Mingle is thrilled.
I think we have to end the show right now because I'm just going to laugh for the rest of the
time. To be part of this Kardashian-adjacent nightmare. Folks, Christian Mingle, they got quality people like YBN, Almighty, and Black China just waiting to get pregnant and swear in interviews.
Yeah, I was searching on Christian Mingle and expletive, and I saw her profile pop up, and I'm like, this expletive fire.
Yeah.
So I sent her Christian Mingle messages, and she responded to my email.
Yeah. Christian Mingle. I agree with you. We should just... That's sort of a slam dunk. Good night, everybody.
I wish that these microphones were the type that I could drop because of the tear.
That's why this got in here. Normally, I am not...
Oh, my God. I feel like my heart is going to explode.
I'm not talking about Kardashians, but when you get Black China pregnant by an 18-year-old giving this quote, and then you find out...
I want to tattoo that to myself. I said he would not want to expletive and expletive. I did not want to get pregnant. Yep. If China got pregnant, I would keep that expletive like, oh, daddy, love you. I love that expletive.
Yeah. Christian Mingle.
Oh, my goodness.
Christian parents, your daughters might be on Christian Mingle hooking up with guys like YBN Almighty.
I would say, and ironically, this is the only reason any of us know his name. However, he's a rapper, but whatever he's doing, this is the most famous he's ever going to
be. Is he a Christian rapper?
I mean, I know Catholics who go on J-Date just because they think they're going to get good dates off of it.
This is not Christian language that he's using?
No, this is not.
I know there's
I grew up Catholic, and I have a cleaner mouth than that. And all of you know how hard it is for me to not get FCC fines on this show.
Yikes. It is WMFO Medford. Yeah. Christian Mingle. Sorry, Christian Mingle.
Sorry, Christian Mingle.
Yeah, boy, you got to believe. They've probably got their lawyers working overtime right now. Like, how do we get this out of the press? We've been punked by the Kardashians.
How can we spin this?
Yeah.
Should we remind them that we're not a more offensive religion?
So, here's what we got. On the Tell Mikey D, coming up in 22 minutes.
Yes.
Doesn't really give us a lot of time.
Does not.
Chase Blaine, to go into any kind
Chris,
of meaningful depth.
I did enjoy Chris's phone call. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And,
but
and
it did. We've just been chatty. Sometimes we're chatty.
So have you got one more? Because what we'll do is we'll do one more of these.
Yeah.
We'll play music and we'll wrap up the show and we will save this topic for next week.
Yeah.
Because
I would say, and it's going to break more too.
Here's the thing. There is a very important thing because off the top, we teased we were going to talk about what happened with the Golden State Killer. I hate to tease something on the show and then not do it because that feels like I'm being cheap with the audience. We don't do that here. But it's
going to continue developing, and I think we should just save it for next week.
There is a very significant aspect to how they caught this guy that involves the use of DNA.
Yes, absolutely. And rape kits.
That may involve police behaving illegally to access information about DNA that may allow the Golden State Killer to go free. And we want to go through it, and we want to give it the time that it needs.
Yeah,
so.
and right now we have 20 minutes left.
Yeah,
so I do have another one for you.
Because the local music people come in here and yell at us if we don't get off the air in time.
Yeah, they hit us with their guitars. It hurts.
Yeah.
Dead Sea.
The Dead Sea?
Yes, like the sea that is dead.
Like Scrolls Country?
Actually, I was going to say it. Dead Sea Scrolls.
Did they find something alive in the Dead Sea?
You're adorable, but no, that's not what I'm getting
at. Dead Sea Scrolls. Did not hear anything about the...
Technology originally developed for NASA has revealed letters invisible to the naked eye on fragments of the 2,000-year-old Dead Sea Scrolls, officials announced on Tuesday. The scrolls were discovered in the 1950s by archaeologists and Bedouin in caves near Qumran, I'm so bad at pronouncing things from there, on the West Bank, which is near the Dead Sea, and includes tens of thousands of parchment and papyrus fragments that are thought to belong to approximately 1,000 different manuscripts. The Israel Antiquities Authority said examinations of some fragments that had not previously been sorted or deciphered due to their small size and precarious physical state uncovered new script and pointed to the existence of an entirely unknown manuscript.
Hmm.
So basically, everything we thought about the Dead Sea Scrolls might have just been smoke and mirrors.
Hmm.
Which is, to me, quite fascinating.
Well, it doesn't challenge what we already know about them and what they've already uncovered, has it?
Well, that's the thing, is they don't know. They're still deciphering all of it. But it reminded me of, this is such a ridiculous comparison. But when I read this story,
I mean, this isn't a situation where they were like, wait a minute, these are IBM punch cards.
Well, it reminded me of an episode of The Office where, I know, like I said, this is a ridiculous comparison, but it reminded me of an episode of The Office where Dwight is trying to get the members of the sales staff together and hands out a memo that says to reorganize their files and put them in backwards order on the original, like on the actual typewritten script of the memo. But then he's used his urine to make invisible ink and put a secret message on it that if you heat it up, you can see it.
Right.
And from the research I've done after reading the story, it seems as though this is a similar type thing. Neither. Whereas, like I said, like the actual original script might have been smoke and mirrors when the intention was to have someone figure out that there was a hidden message on there.
Oh, okay.
Which I want to follow the story because I'm always very, I mean, it's amazing to me to even think about the fact that human beings have been alive as long as we have. Yeah. And we're near destroying the planet, but we haven't quite done it yet.
I don't even know we're that near it.
But well, not in our lifetime, but in like if I ever had children, their grandkids would probably watch the apocalypse. But it is. I always think it's so fascinating thinking about that. There was a society 2,000 years ago, and now what we thought was just kind of an understood fact or understood. Delineation of an old document might be completely unfounded and might be completely changed.
Interesting. All right, that's one to keep an eye on. Yeah. Absolutely. Last one for you. Definition of mother.
Definition of mother?
Yes.
Maureen Louise Agnes Stewart Spillane?
No.
I don't know.
Siri, if you asked Siri to define mother, she apparently was going to the Oxford English Dictionary, and that was fine for the first definition. You can look that up online. Siri, after reading the definition, would then ask you, would you like another definition? At which point, Siri would give you the second definition from the Oxford English Dictionary, which is vulgar and is an abbreviation for a word closely associated with the on-screen appearances of Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, like, she's such a mother.
Yes. Or, I've had enough of these mother snakes on this mother plane. Yeah. Well,
this honestly makes me happy because I used to mess with Siri, and a lot of things have been updated so that you can't do it anymore.
Oh, they updated this the same afternoon it was found. The Killjoys at Apple ruin everything.
Yeah, I used to be so mean to her, and she'd be mean right back to me. I'd do it when I was bored in college.
The Killjoys at Apple patched this almost immediately.
I say, and then it turned into, I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Oh, yeah. I do a good Siri. I've never noticed that.
Siri is a real problem. Siri should sound like GLaDOS, and then we could all be happy. And probably have a stronger understanding of the world, the nightmare landscape in which we actually find ourselves. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. I'm Derek Gary. She is Shea Spillane. On the Town with Mikey D is what happens at 9 o'clock tonight.
Yes, indeed.
We are going to take a quick break, listen to a little bit of spring music, and when we come back, we're going to have our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
The coffin's heart is melting. Because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Belaine. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're wrapping things up at the moment, and we're doing so with What's Hot, the segment where we talk about the coolest thing from last week in our humble opinions. For me, I'm super excited. I love environmentalism and all of that good stuff. Scientists have been tinkering with concrete in an effort to improve the world's most widely used construction material, and they've notched some notable successes.
New forms of concrete can trap and store the greenhouse gas carbon dioxide, break down pollutants from exhaust fumes, and help protect aging infrastructure by sealing cracks as they form. And now scientists in the UK have developed a green concrete that they say is environmentally friendly, as well as more durable and more than twice as strong as traditional concrete. The new form looks like ordinary concrete, but its special properties from the addition of microscopic flakes of graphene, a form of carbon that's one of the world's strongest materials, make it stronger. Greater strength means less of the stuff would be needed to construct walls and other structures, and that's significant since making cement, which is concrete's principal ingredient, accounts for 5% of global emissions of the greenhouse gas carbon dioxide.
I got a friend from high school who's big in the concrete industry and is probably working on all of this stuff.
I want to say, it's like, I read this and was just like, this is the sort of stuff we should be doing. Like, yeah, okay, use cloth bags instead of plastic ones, but this is like... this is a wider scale of environmentalism. That's why I really wanted to include it, because it's, I mean, this is so cool. It's so cool that it's 2018 and we're still able to, I mean, these chemicals can seal cracks as they form, which means that
that's cool.
Less construction, less upkeep. Like, I think about, there's a road in Quincy that's built over a marsh that they have to reconstruct about every 5 years. This could completely change that. It's amazing.
I don't know that they should have built the road over the marsh in the first place.
They had to. It's Hancock Street connector. That's where State Street in Quincy is.
See, if you build a bridge, then the road's not on the marsh.
It was the 70s. Everyone was coked up.
Yeah, that happened. So it is week two. M&M's is doing a flavor challenge.
You hear the crunch?
And last week... we tried the M&M's Raspberry Crunch, and this week we have moved on to flavor number two, which is the M&M's Mint Crunch.
I think I like Mint Crunch better, which is weird, because I don't really like mint-flavored stuff.
I'm not a huge...
Crunch.
It's interesting, because when you open the bag, you are assaulted by the mint smell.
Oh, yeah.
In much the same way that it was with the raspberry.
I would say the raspberry, it felt like I was licking jelly.
But the raspberry had a really, really heavy raspberry flavor. The mint is not overpowering here.
I would say this is well-balanced. It's like a York peppermint patty where you're like, oh, mint, but still chocolate and other stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas the raspberry, like I said, it felt like I was like licking the top of a jelly jar.
So we're definitely like moving up. The mint wins out over the raspberry, yeah. I think. I have a feeling.
Mint, y'all.
I have a feeling this is going to be the winner, but we'll see what comes up.
I'm saying, like I said, I don't even like mint stuff. So the fact that I'm supporting the mint initiative is a big deal.
Now, as I mentioned earlier in the show, and I'm going to mention it again right now, this Saturday night, 7 o'clock, silent auction, 8 o'clock, show begins. Voices of Hope, which is a local group. Raising money to fight cancer and help those who've been afflicted by cancer. We'll present Working one night only at the North Shore Music Theater up in Beverly, right off of 128, very easy to get to. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the show, this is based on a book by Studs Terkel that was turned into a musical by Stephen Schwartz and a bunch of other luminary people. And it is a series of songs and monologues about working life in America. Mm. If you are familiar with the show, this is an updated version featuring a new song by none other than Lin-Manuel Miranda. You might remember him from such things as Hamilton. A lot of people like the Hamilton. So
yes, they do like the Hamilton.
Get a chance to go check out the new Lin-Manuel stuff.
Everybody love the Hamilton.
There's a really nice James Taylor song in the musical. I actually did this show myself.
Oh, I love James Taylor.
Back in 87 in the summertime. So I have a fondness for it. And that is this Saturday night, 7 o'clock silent auction, 8 o'clock showtime at the North Shore Music Theater. If you would like to know more, voicesofhopeboston.org. VoicesofHopeBoston.org. Go grab some tickets, check out the show. It's going to be fun. And a nice night at the theater. Oh, it's going to be a nice night.
Yeah. I'm digging on it.
Well, the Basement Jacks are.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We are wrapping up the big picture with That's a Thing That Happened, which is the craziest, weirdest news story from last week. For me, at least a dozen sinkholes have opened up in Central Florida over the past week, enough to drain an entire retention pond and force the evacuation of 8 nearby homes.
Yikes.
Crews are using underground radar that penetrates 80 to 100 feet down to figure out a fix. People who live in the community started to notice something strange last week. What one resident called, quote, water explosions, end quote, in a now drained pond. Ocala, where this took